24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can't do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked.
A New York City address is instantly recognizable and impressive to customers and clients. Starting at only a dollar a day, NYCVirtualOffice.com provides mail forwarding options, including a walk-in location, and receives mail and packages to national and international customers with no setup fees and no contracts. With your Fifth Avenue address, you can incorporate your business, open bank accounts and lines of credit, and gain instant credibility. Call today, 212-726-1000. That's 212-726-1000 or online at nycvirtualoffice.com. It's never been easier to start your very own radio show on Bashani Radio. Your Bashani Radio show will give you up to an hour show per week with access to over 500,000 monthly listeners. Plus, streamed to millions more on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio. Run your own advertisements and keep 100% of the revenue. Sign up now on BashaniRadio.com and let us set everything up for you with no setup fees. BashaniRadio.com.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever it is that you are. You are listening to Unbecome Spiritual Expansion on BashaniRadio.com and worldwide on iHeartRadio. My name is Holly Noonan. I am the host of this show, and here we have conversations on consciousness, helping you unbecome everything you're not so that you can live your most congruent, authentic, empowered life and discover your life's true purpose. Today's conversation is one that I believe will be epic in the lives of those who are really needing to hear this message. And when we talk about unbecoming, this gentleman is absolutely the epitome of what that word means. You know, his journey from being suicidal to a life full of complete purpose was really a journey of unbecoming everything he was. It wasn't so much about becoming someone, it was about unbecoming all the layers that never really belonged to him in the first place. And underneath all those layers, you don't have to become anything because you already are. And this is a man who has lived the entirety of that journey from at both extremes, now living his life in complete purpose and passion, but coming from a place not so long ago of complete destruction and depression, let's say. His name is Martin Ball. I consider him a great friend of mine, and I actually personally met Martin only a couple of years ago through business. And you know, his energy was something that was magnetizing to me. I was gobsmacked to even hear of where he had come from. It's just, I couldn't barely even fathom the person he is today to, wow, you know, that is just an epic, how could you have ever been there when I see you the way that I feel you and see you today? So let me share a little bit of background just before I hand over and get into this conversation that I know so many people will be able to relate to. No matter, you know, which end of the scale you're at, whether it's the scale of, you know, more towards your passion and your purpose, or maybe it's down the other end of the scale, more towards depression and destruction in your life and feeling lost and I guess, you know, hopeless in a way. So in 2014, after two mental breakdowns, Martin was diagnosed with clinical depression. Through this journey, he had two moments where he almost took his life and was even hospitalized for his own safety. He partners a lot with what he does in business and in life with another incredible man by the name of Dave Cottam. And I know that Dave was someone who was there as a supportive driving force, helping Martin get back into the community. And the two of them are very much, you know, life enthusiasts. That's probably the best word to sum them up. So before we get into whole discussion, Martin, I just want to, I guess, thank you for making yourself available today. I know this all happened at the last minute, and I appreciate you, rearranging whatever you had to be able to be here offering this message to the audience today. And maybe if I just hand over to you and ask you to share anything about yourself that you feel you would like the audience to know so that, you know, they're not just hearing, I guess, the statistics or you know, the dot points from me, but more importantly, they get more of a feeling as to who it is you are, because obviously it's your message. So just want to make sure you're there, say thank you, and ask you to share whatever it is you feel you'd like everyone to know.
Yeah, thank you so much, Holly. God bless you. I really appreciate that beautiful introduction and having the opportunity to talk to the listeners. Yeah, it's really just about that growth, everything that's happened for me. That was one of the key things there, the shift from is it happening to me or is it happening for me, and just being grateful for every single part of that and realizing, I think one of the most beautiful things that we can actually do is connect with nature. And that's where a lot of, I believe, questions are answered when we look at the landscape, you know, boulders coming out the ground and the mountains and the shape of everything. And you look and think it's all created via stress, and it's just beautiful to look upon. So if that's the attitude we can have towards nature, then we only have to reflect back on self and realize that everything's happening for a reason, and it's molding us into that beautiful being that we already are, but also to go and share our message along the journey.
Absolutely. And you know, just because of what you said there, let me ask you this, because so many people use that cliche, everything happens for a reason, everything happens for a reason. But I know that for some people that have been in that deep, dark place that you have experienced, it's probably one of the worst or the most disempowering things, I guess, for them to hear, because, you know, you're in a space where even if you ultimately know there is a reason, you can't see it, you can't feel it. And I guess you're in a belief system. I mean, what leads you to suicide is basically the belief that there can't be a reason. And, you know, I guess, what is the purpose of it all? So when you were in that space, so not on the outside of it where you are now, but when you were in that space, was that a concept that you were able to open up to, or did you really struggle with that, with being able to see, how is there a reason for this? Why is this happening within me?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, in the vortex of all that pain, it was, I couldn't see wood for trees. It was just a dark hole. There was absolutely no future for me in that moment. And during that experience, I think the key thing for it was actually, when I was admitted into a mental institute for my own safety, that was where I had time away from everything that was going on in my life, away from people around me, away from everything that I was doing. And in all fairness, one of the things that I was doing back then was keeping myself very busy, so I didn't have to deal with any of the pain. But I was actually burning out more and more, which eventually, you know, created more stress within me. Yes. And to go into that hospital, and even as a man, you know, the ego, the masculine side of me just didn't want to accept that I was going to go into an institute because it was seen as a weakness. And that was a very big challenge. And fortunately, you know, I did agree because it was voluntary to go into it. And it was a private mental institute, but at the same time, the psychiatrist I was speaking with was not prepared to let me leave his office because of, how really, I just, he asked me a question, the most powerful question I've ever been asked is, you know, do you see a future for you? And the answer was no. And I burst into tears. So, you know, there's a great concern for my safety from his side. Mm-hmm. But I just didn't want to be here anymore. So yeah, the question you asked earlier, you know, I certainly didn't see it that way, but I was conscious of the fact that, what was going into my head, was vital in regards to, you know, positive messages and the people I was surrounded by and so on. So I just literally removed myself from everything that I found to be negative.
Right. Okay. So can you take us right back to the start of it? And I know you've got a poem that I would love for you to share with us, which kind of encompasses the whole of that journey. But just before we go into that, could you take us back? Like, I'm going to be real. Okay. I'm just going to be so upfront. No. I personally have not experienced, obviously, that level of depression or anything like that, or anxiety. So, you know, I actually do, I guess you would say, I'm challenged to be able to understand, how does someone get that bad? I don't dishonor the journey of someone that does get that bad, but I'm like, how do you not see the signs leading up to it? You know, surely you don't just wake up one day and it's already that bad. Like, you know, how, you know, your soul, your spirit is trying to give you clues along the way, in the way of pain or suffering or whatever it could be. How do you even get there? So maybe can you, because you know what, Martin, some people might be listening to this right now. anywhere around the world and maybe not even know that that's what they're headed for. Maybe they're feeling pretty crappy and maybe they're feeling pretty down and pretty depressed and maybe, you know, the most emotional pain they'd personally ever felt, but maybe they don't even realize how bad their situation is and what they're headed for. So if you would be, you know, I know that you're very, very open and candid about your journey and everything. And that's why I, you know, have the courage to ask you this question. I know it's a bit of a sensitive question for most people that have been through it, but if you would be open to sharing that with us, it would, I mean, for someone like myself, it just gives us greater insight, I guess, to the people who might be around the person with depression right now. And they're like me. They're like, how does it get this bad? Like, and I guess powerless to fix it and all that. So it helps those people have an understanding at a deeper level of someone that has been through what you've been through. But it also, for the person that might be experiencing it, like I said, maybe they don't even realize how much of a downward slope they're on. So would you be open to sharing, how did you even get that bad? Like, what was there a particular event in your life? Was there a series of events? Do you remember thinking certain things and now looking back, you realize those were the thoughts that steamrolled and got you in, I guess, gained momentum that led you to that place? I mean, I don't really know the exact question there. I'll hand it over to you to just work out what you think it is. But yeah, share that journey with us, all right? I'm like, please, just help me understand this.
Yeah, absolutely. No, thank you. And I think one of the key things to be aware of is that we all handle things differently. And what can seem like little to somebody else can be huge to another person.
Absolutely.
For myself with my own journey, my thing was always about being the best version of myself and being accepted by everybody. And if I wasn't accepted, then what could I do to improve myself to be accepted by that person? So there was a lot of internal pressure on that I was creating. It wasn't externally; it was what I was creating, because I'd never had quote unquote enemies. I always was liked, and that's just the way life was. But my journey with regards to working away in the mines was one of the big ones. So my role on there was actually an active life coach, and I was one of the people that motivated the residents on site. And a lot of people who work away in the mines tend to go into depression. You know, they go into this spiral of pain because in many cases they don't actually want to be there, but they're there for the money.
Yep.
Being away from family, friends, and so on, and all those special occasions.
Like they're emotionally isolated. Yep.
Absolutely, yeah. And I was one of those people that was there to motivate people. And I had many chats with people who were going through a lot of pain and a lot of frustration. And I wasn't educated or skilled in the area, but I just knew how to communicate with people. And it was interesting how my background really was, I was self-employed since 21. So at 30, 31, I can't remember the age exactly, but then I went back working away in the mines. And, you know, obviously when you're self-employed, you do your own work, you're driven, you're motivated, and you take action every day. And I went into an environment where there was a lot of peak ego. There was a lot of people wanting to strive forward just for the resume to look better. And I didn't align with a lot of people that were saying one thing and not doing it.
Yep.
So not authentic to what they were actually saying. And it ended up turning around that management basically put me in certain scenarios which would make me fail. Excuse me. Right. And I don't fail. So, you know, I always find a way. There's always a solution to everything and I'll find that way. But they kept bringing up different scenarios in work tasks that they wanted me to do as be the guinea pig. And I'd say, well, I can give you five reasons why it won't work, but you only need one. Can you tell me one reason why, how it will work? And they said, you'd have to figure it out for yourself. And, you know, and because I couldn't figure it out, because I couldn't get it to work, I was getting what they called counseling sessions and reports about my work and so on. And I started to ask questions as to why is this happening? Why am I being put under this? And then they change it based on what I said, how it would work after I'd got all the counseling sessions and so on.
Okay.
So, and it was actually work colleagues of mine that brought a lot of this to my attention in regards to the way I was being spoken to and spoken of. And, it was just them, what's going on? How can I improve? And even asking the questions, what can I do? And just giving me nothing. So I often refer to it kind of like the gamekeeper and the lion, the gamekeeper constantly poking the lion. You know, the lion either bites back or it retreats into the corner. And I bit back a few times, but it just went on deaf ears. And, you know, I ended up having to just back down and really, I just allowed them to take control over me. Mm-hmm. And in all fairness, Holly, it was the actual internal breakdown that was taking place. And I don't mean that from a place of depression. I mean, actually because of who I was being crumbled, was just being broken down and going, you're not strong enough. You can't do this. You're not worthy. You have no value to anyone around here. This is why people are treating you this way. And it was just an internal just destruction that was taking place. And,
yes.
You know, and that was to not be able to deal with it, to be put in a situation where people weren't supporting me and weren't seeing the value that I was giving, just really broke my heart, because I was getting the and I don't say this from a place of ego, but I was getting the highest awards. I was constantly getting requests for me to go and do certain things and emails of my work stuff and that. But it fell upon deaf ears, and apparently these people, were scared of me taking the management role, which was never something I ever wanted anyway.
Yes.
But yeah, I also, you know, and that resulted in two mental breakdowns. And when I say that, the stress, the internal pressure internally started me to physically shake and cry uncontrollably.
Okay.
And I remember that was the first one, but and I was on my own when that happened, because I just put myself in a room. Well, the second time it happened was actually in front of a medic, because I just didn't know what to do, and I went straight to the medic, and she asked me a question, you know, what's going on, and I instantly just started physically shaking very, very aggressively, and wow, crying, and she just couldn't believe what she was seeing, and she was like, please, please, just calm yourself down. You're going straight to the doctor. And the doctor had about an hour chat with me and immediately got me off the site. Mm-hmm. And then it just spiraled out of control in regards to the company not supporting me and trying to shift my contract agreement. And it just really got worse and worse. And I just couldn't believe the way that I was being treated. And then, you know, the disconnection to my fiance at the time, you know, that started taking place. I started to single myself out from everybody. When anybody ever came around, I put on this smiley face, but internally I was just broken. You know, no communication with my partner, no intimacy, nothing. Just felt, as a man, felt like worthless. How could I be going into a marriage with this girl and not even be able to support myself, let alone her?
Right.
So that created more pressure, and you know, it just got to the point where I was like, what's the point anymore? There's no value from me to be in this world. It's time for me to move on. It's time for me to go. Oh, and that's really where the suicide stuff came in, the knife came in. And
are you open to sharing that story about what how it was that you had planned to take your life?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I mean, for me, I just didn't know what to do anymore. I was at that point where it's just so much internal pain. And I remember thinking about different things in regards to how to take my life. And for some reason, it was all around a knife. Something said, just drive a knife into your heart and it'll be over. So I remember one day, my partner at the time, she went to work, and I was like, right, this is the day. And I've got a little dog, and what I did was I put my dog in the office and closed the room, because my concern was that she may come over and lick the knife and cut her tongue. So I was processing the whole thing. What can I do? Where am I going to do it? And I remember putting her in the office, and I just went into the kitchen and I was like, right, this is it. And I got hold of the knife and just was in floods of tears. I was once again aggressively shaking, crying and crying, and just felt completely lost, completely like just detached in every single meaning of the word. And I just remember putting the knife up against my chest and starting to count. It was, I can't even remember what I was counting down from, but I just remember having it there and counting, and my eyes were closed and just aggressively crying and shaking. And all of a sudden, I opened my eyes, and across from the kitchen, against the wall there, I just saw my mum staring at me and in floods of tears. And my mum lives back in the UK, so she's over like 14,000 k's away. And I just saw her there crying right in front of me, as clear as if she was physically there, from a place of, why didn't I speak to her? Why didn't I talk? Why didn't I share more around it? And I instantly just dropped the knife. But as I dropped the knife onto the table, I fell down into a heap onto the kitchen floor, just really aggressively crying. And then within a couple of minutes, I remember just crawling out of the kitchen, right the way down the hallway to the office. And I opened the door, and my little staffy there, she just leapt on me as if to say, thank you, thank God you're still here. And the embrace, that it was as if she knew.
Yeah, so, she would have. Absolutely. Yeah, like, yeah. You're giving me chills even hearing this. I literally feel it.
Yeah, thank you. It's wow. It was a powerful moment, and I never told my partner at the time about it until I think it was maybe 2 weeks later. She had a chat with me and was like, what's going on with us, and you've been so distant and quiet, and I just said to her, I don't want to be here anymore. I've already I had a knife against my chest a couple of weeks ago, whatever it was, and she just couldn't believe it. She just was so shocked. That I'd spiraled from being this happy-go-lucky, positive, vibrant guy to just literally a black hole. No face, as so to speak. So,
Is it true? Is it true that at the moment, say when you lock the dog away and you're literally going in to do it, and you have the knife against your chest, is it true that in those moments and in the lead up and the planning of it, that you truly feel those who are in that space truly absolutely believe that they're doing everyone else a favor, like that it's literally, literally the bit, because I've always been challenged by in terms of understanding is like, okay, if you've got the ability to think of the process of how to do it, how do you not have the ability, like what you've kind of mentioned there, with regards to your mum, how do you not have the ability then to see what kind of pain it's going to cause your fiance to come home and find you, and your mum when she gets the phone call and she can't even be there right away because she has to, take 30 hours to fly here or whatever. And I don't mean to say that in a very, in an arrogant, dismissive way whatsoever, but I mean, for someone that hasn't experienced it, it's hard to understand or to comprehend, I guess. So what goes through your mind, I guess, leading up, because again, someone might be having these thoughts right now. Like if they're having, those fleeting moments of, oh my gosh, I could just drive this car into the next tree, or, oh my gosh, I just feel like I want to jump off this cliff kind of moments. And there could be fleeting moments, but when you get to the point where you actually are believing, I'd actually be doing everyone a favor, I know there'd be pain. I mean, what's the process? Is that even a process? Do you think about that? How do you justify it in your mind to be able to ultimately decide that with all the circumstances put together, it's still the best option?
Yeah, it's. I don't think it really does happen like that. I mean, we can look at it in any situation throughout life, and often we get frustrated about something, but there's actually another side to that. But if we're just stuck in that level of frustration and anger and we're just like, that's where we are. But everything, as you know, as dichotomy, the world's made up of dichotomy. So there's always good to bad. But I think when you're in that spiral and it's really deep, you're just under such a belief that you are of no value here, you're not worthy of being here, and that you're a burden, and it would be a lot easier for everybody else if you weren't here. I don't believe it goes through your mind to say, you kind of go, yeah, people will be upset, but you're just so detached from it.
Yeah, that's a really good word, actually. That's really good. Because you hear people say, oh, you know, it was so selfish of him. How could he have left his kids? How could he do that to his family? And, you know, I've always hated the energy that comes around those kind of statements. I guess, you know, everyone's trying to understand things when they hear of or a loved one or a friend, you know, has committed suicide. And like, how could they do that to the family? But that's what I've literally always wondered. And I've always wanted to be able to ask someone that's not going to be offended by that question from space of love and the space of, you know, like we want to understand, does it go through your mind and you just don't care what kind of pain it's going to cause? Or like you've said, does it really go through?
I think the thing with it is the easiest way to describe it is it's selfless selfishness.
Ooh,
and that in itself is just to, I remember my partner actually saying to me when I was telling her about it, she was like, well, I think anyone that takes their life is being selfish.
Yeah.
And I was like, I mean, you know, I was gutted to hear that because then that's another attack on myself.
Yeah,
and then realizing that I'm really not worthy.
Or even feeling like you wanted to kill yourself in the first place kind of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that goes through because, you know, it is said that, you know, to do it is selfish. But then at the same time, it's very hard when those demons are there. And I mean, we only have to look at some of the, you know, some of the people. One person that comes straight to mind is Robin Williams. You know, a man that made so many people happy around the world, yet internally he wasn't happy.
Yeah.
And we can't fathom that. I mean, one of the most successful people in the world, you know, based on society standards, and yet wasn't internally happy. So there's, I believe it's definitely when we allow the demons to come in and we allow them to continue to talk, and it's just, it can spiral out, and it can be the little, it's like the straw that broke the camel's back. It can be the smallest of things that just takes people over the edge, unfortunately. And, you know, fortunately for me, it didn't happen.
Absolutely. Fortunately for all of us, because it's not only for you.
Yeah.
The fact that you're still here, I mean, you know, I always say that the blessing is in the breaking. And now you're in a situation now where, you know, the world is so grateful that you never went through with it, because the value that you're offering to so many people's lives, which we'll get to shortly, you know, it's like you did all of us a favor. It wasn't even for you. It was for us.
That's exactly it, Holly. And thank you. I'm very grateful for the way you've worded that. And that's it. It came to that realization that I am here for that reason.
Yes.
And it is to give hope, empowerment to other people who are going through this, to believe in themselves that, you know, it's actually happening for them, to realize this, but it can only be of that place when people are ready for that. It's like anything, you've got to be prepared to be ready for it and to move on, otherwise you're just going to stay in that spiral of pain.
And so, okay, but I really want to get to this poem, but you're giving me more questions now. Okay. So just because I've always said the same thing. I've always said you've got to participate in your own rescue. So it's one thing to be in that space and to not know how to get out, but it's another thing to actually actively play a role in getting out somehow, whether it is to talk to someone, to write a letter, I don't know what. So I guess I have two questions for you. You were in that space, and then on the other side of it, you spoke to your fiance and you realized, I guess, what kind of, I guess you would have been so grateful that you never went through with it, and you realize how bad it could have been for so many people if you had it, for example.
Yep.
Now, here's my next question. How do you then get back to that space again? How do you not see yourself heading there again next time and stop it? Because I know you've had two suicide attempts, correct me if I'm wrong. So how does the second one happen now that you've got the experience and I guess the wisdom and that moment with your dog and things like that came from the first one? How was that not enough for you to not go down that path again the second time?
Well, really good question. And really this, what it came down to for me was the messages that were going into my head. So what ended up happening was that I had downloaded an audio called Victim or Victor Mindset by a pastor called Dr. Charles Stanley. Okay. It's about a 45-minute audio. And I remember listening to it way before I was going through any of this pain. And I was like, oh, this is way too like religious-y for me. And even though I was brought up a Catholic, it just didn't resonate with me at the time.
Right.
However, I remember I was between the first and second time I was actually walking Bessie, which is my dog, around out around the lake. And it was about a 45-minute walk. And I don't believe anything's random, but this audio came on my iPod.
Right.
And it was telling about, it's a true story. I think it's about a prime minister. I mean, this is over 4 years ago. That I was okay. listening to it. So it's about a prime minister whose family and closest friends, before he got into power or before he got into the seat, he actually was getting a lot of abuse and getting frustration from those closest to him. And he could never understand why, but it was only when he got into power and he got the presidency that the tasks and the challenges he was faced with, he was able to deal with because of his experience.
Okay.
And this actually from the toes right the way through to my crown, I had this incredible heat that went through my body as if it was like an awakening and a realization of this is happening for me. And what he said in there was that God isn't here physically, but what he supposedly, as in we believe he, chooses to do is come through people to give you the message that you need.
Right.
And I then realized that these people were treating me the way that they were treating me because I wasn't supposed to be working away. And I loved my job. Yes. I couldn't see myself doing anything else. So I all of a sudden had this realization and this belief. Now, what ended up happening was with the way my fiance at the time, she went away and did something that, you know, is not good in a relationship to go and do. And I found out you know, I was distraught. I was heartbroken, but at the same time, I hadn't been giving her any attention. So,
yes,
you know, she was craving that. Now, I, because of all that and the breakdown and I had 2 weeks to, the deal that we had was that her father was buying me out of our house. So I had 2 weeks to get out. I had nowhere to go, no family here, nothing. Yeah. And that's where the second time kicked in, but I had downloaded more of this pastor's audios. And whilst I was packing the boxes and just crying and crying and crying, I'd built a pergola out the back and was like, you know, maybe it's just better off for me to go and hang myself. And it was interesting because when I spoke to the psychiatrist, he was trying to fathom how I'd come up with firstly killing myself with the knife, because he said most men hang themselves. And a friend of mine in the UK had hung himself a few years before. Now, I don't know if that had planted a seed in me, but every time I walked back into that house to continue boxing everything up, all I saw was me hanging from the pergola.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
So, but I'm listening to my audio, and all of a sudden, one of the other audios I downloaded was from Dr. Charles Stanley, and it was talking about suicide. And as I'm listening to this audio, and I'm actually going, right, I need to go to Bunnings, I need to go and get some rope. You know, how am I going to get there? I ain't got a car here. So the whole thing, but I could clearly see myself like swinging from the pergola.
Oh, you make me want to cry.
Sorry. But this is the intensity of it. And what ended up happening was, though, throughout this audio, it was about a Marine that didn't want to be here, and everything that he'd experienced, he said, I'm, you know, this is too painful for me. My family are better off without me. I can't be there for them the way that they need me. And he put a gun in his mouth, ready to blow his head off, but something told him not to.
Right.
And then the second time he went to go through it, which was, he actually tied his own noose, and I'm listening to this and I'm going through the whole process of me doing the same. And he put his head through it and something said, this is not your journey.
Oh.
And he pulled his head out and everything changed for him in his life. So I'm hearing this and I'm all of a sudden realizing that this is the second message that I have got from God. And as I said, I was brought up Catholic. So that was my belief. And I'm like, this is clear that I'm not supposed to take my life. There is something bigger for me. So I actually went in, I spoke to my psychiatrist about it and told him, and he was like, wow, this is amazing, Martin, but you please understand, you know, as powerful as that message is, I believe you need to go and take time out in the hospital and go through. So I actually, from that moment, Holly, I had this belief internally, and I believed that I had, you know, God with me and supporting me, and I was here for a bigger purpose. So it was truly an awakening for me, to experience that, to then believe I'm here for something bigger. And this is only happening to help me get to where I need to get to and get away from where I was, which wasn't truly serving me.
Right.
Anymore.
I totally understand that.
That was the key.
Wow. Yeah. Whew, I need to take a breath. Wow. I was like with you through that story. Oh my gosh. Do you know what? I got to say something. When you were talking about how you could see yourself hanging from the pergola and you're listening to this audio and you're literally talking about every time you're walking back to get a new box or whatever to pack the car that you could see yourself hanging and swinging. I had a vision, and I've just got to say this. I know we're on live and we're on radio and all that, but I'm just going to chat with you for a minute as though the audience isn't there. I had this distinct image come to me. Someone, I swear, someone right now is sitting in a car and just like with their head in their face, and I could just see somebody, you know, crying and sobbing and breaking down, like you said. Maybe they've been thinking that. Maybe what you have just said in that much detail, I mean, the images of everything you're explaining were so clear in my mind, it's as if I was there with you seeing it that day. That's how well you've just described that. So for the person who is out there that, you know, was supposed to hear this message, please allow that to touch you, allow that to shift you, to change you, and allow Martin to be the messenger that was sent to you today, just like the audio was sent to him that day. So I just want to say thank you for the detail in that story, as much as it was just chilling. I don't even know another word for it to understand, you know. Look, I know there's so much that I would love to chat to you about, but I want to go into this poem that you've got, because I know it encompasses, you know, the whole, I know you've got two poems, and I'd love to have the time if we do, to be able to go through both of them and maybe share that with everyone, because I think the gift that came from, you know, it's a blessing that came from your breaking that you can now use to bless other people's lives with. So would you be willing to share that with us now? And then maybe from there, we can go into the story of, okay, how's life changed for you and where are you at now?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'd be honored to. So this was just one day I was sat and all of working away, and all of a sudden it was like, stop what you're doing. Express this out. And I'd never written anything like this before. So, and I just typed, and when I went back and read it, I was actually personally blown away. So it's called The Devil's Real Beauty. Mm. And this is where we start. So you aggressively arrived. Where had you been hiding for me not to see you? As I looked around, there was just darkness, a state of suffocation around me. As I breathed, you stood on my chest, unable to break free from your force. You spoke to me with evil certainty, your confidence so strong and overpowering. My ability to see past you was blinded. The fear was real. Disconnection to self was imminent. I was wandering around aimlessly, lost in a world of disconnection, a brave face for society to hide the terror I felt, the child inside of me crying, scared, and all alone. You gave me an option to leave with you, a way to escape the pain. You spoke with such certainty, I was almost fooled. I found my voice and reached out, but my words fell on deaf ears. The person I needed most, unable to hear. The girl I thought was the one, left shocked. She didn't know what to do, nor did I. The knife looked like my friend. It spoke to me, encouraging me to hold it. A useful instrument throughout the day, about to turn into a lethal weapon. The path was built. It led to a door in the darkness. From behind the door was the sound of voices welcoming me. So inviting, yet I felt fear creeping in. You assured me I would be safe there. I started to walk towards the door. The voices became louder, the fear in me rising. The disconnection to self was being aggressively torn. I reached out to open the door. I stopped. Your voice screeched at me. I heard and felt your pure evil. You demanded I walk through. Walking through meant driving the knife into my heart. I pause, tears streaming down my face. Before my eyes, the most important woman in my life sobbing. She was over 14,000 Ks away, yet I saw her as clear as day. Unable to help me in my time of need, you would have forced me to break my mum's heart. I felt her unconditional love from the other side of the world. I pushed you away. You came back again even stronger. But my mum's love fueled my fight. The knife dropped. I got back into the light. I fell to my knees, my body weak yet grateful. It's been 4 years since you stepped into my life. Every day you sit in the corner breathing heavily. I hear you speaking to me at night. Your wish for me to walk with you down that path again. However, it's your desire and not mine. Thank you. I'm grateful for you. You taught me about life. the precious gift we have been given. You gave me the awakening that I needed. I'm now living a life of purpose. It's not what you want to hear, although you made me who I am today, and I thank you for that. Your goal was to take my life. The result was you gave me a new life. Oh. There you go.
Wow. Oh, wow. Gosh, that came from a high place. I get what you're saying. Your spirit just channeled that through you completely.
Yeah, it was certainly powerful. I remember just literally reading it back to myself after I'd written it and going, whoa, because I've never written anything like that before. So it was powerful.
Dude, why isn't that published somewhere? I'm like, this is the savior for so many people. Have you done something with that poem?
It's in the pipeline of something happening with it, yeah.
Okay, good. Oh my goodness.
I probably need to be connected with the right people to get it out further, but I'm
right. I'm doing something. Well, we're going to talk after the show and maybe I might put you in touch with those people. I'm like, somebody needs that now.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And look, I know. So I guess the interim thing is from a higher perspective. I mean, there's always a higher perspective, and I don't believe, that we are just here in this one life. There is a higher order of things, and I completely believe that we have multiple lives, and that in each life we are always balancing karmas from past lives. And I know that this is something that you also believe, which is great, because obviously the Catholic religion doesn't like you to believe that, but we both broke away from that in that regard, and really found who God truly is. What do you have to say around that? Because I know you have another poem, and again, I think we've got time for you to go through that if you want to. Yeah. I'd love you to.
Yeah, just this is a
show. I know
one.
That this was, this whole experience for you. If you zoom out, and for anyone out there, just understand that, just know that your life is always so much bigger than this one moment. And even this one life, your journey is so much bigger than this one existence. And maybe perhaps in the reason that you have battled this so hard, Martin, is balancing karmic energies or, balancing things from previous lives. So have you had past life visions? Have you had past life memories that have helped to almost link the purpose of that for you? Obviously, you can see the purpose now in this life in regards to how you're able to bless people and how it's given you a purpose and a passion beyond that experience. And that's great. But are you also able to see how that experience for you, that darkness that you were immersed in for some time, somehow balanced something from past lives?
Yeah, absolutely. This has been, in all fairness, Holly, something I've been dealing with, I'd say, for the past year. With the progression that I've had, is moving on to the next phase, is the word that comes to mind. And really what it was one day, just to give you a picture, and I don't want anybody to be concerned about it, but for me, every day, especially when I'm in bed, I clearly see myself hanging myself in the walking robe.
Yep.
So I clearly see that vision every day. So what? One day, I remember I was showering and I just went, "What is going on here?" So I actually just started to, somehow I went back through the journey, and I said, "Well, I'm a great believer now. I mean, we mentioned earlier about God. You know, I believe God is source and God is love, and that's what I was created from. And then therefore that's all I've got to give, not only to self, but to everybody else." So my thing around it was, well, okay, so I was created by source. I chose my parents. So I came through my mum and dad. Yes. My mother went through 9 months of my birth, as in growing and developing. Yes. She went through that labor pain. I'm now 37 years of age, and I'm looking and I'm going, well, I'm at this stage in my life now. Why is this so so clear in my mind that I've as in the suicide and the taking my life? So I was processing the whole thing, and then one day, same again. I was working away, and it just went stop, start typing. And this is what came from it, which is it's a lot shorter than the other one, but I call this one A Lost Soul's Journey.
Yep. Yes.
Because I believe that I'm in a past life, I did take my life.
Okay.
And I'm of the belief that we have to come back and relive it until we get past that point.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Okay. Yes, please do this. I would love to hear it.
So a lost soul's journey. Where am I? I can't see. I can't escape. This darkness is hurting me. Am I trapped? Why did I come here? This isn't what I wanted. It isn't what I believed I would experience. What was I thinking? Why can't I share my love? I came here to give, to teach, yet I am left feeling helpless. Why does this pain hurt so much? What are these voices that I hear, taunting me so loudly? They speak of death. Is my work here done? Which way do I go? I'm ready to move on, but the destination is unclear. Which path do I choose? Is this really what they call living? The purpose just doesn't feel right. Maybe it's not for me. Maybe I made a mistake. Can I go back? Is this uncertainty what I really need? Did I previously choose to take my life? Could this be the message I missed last time? Why do I feel like I've experienced this before? It's true. I'm back. I did give up. This right now is my lesson. I can now choose to grow. I gave up last time. Not this time. No way. This moment is all that I have. It's here where I can feel again. Now is my time to believe. Thank you for awakening me.
Oh, Martin. Goodness, there's a gift in you.
I think I'm just the messenger, to be fair.
Absolutely. But what makes you a messenger is the gift that you carry, because the gift is
I'm being chosen for it for a reason. So, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yes.
So that in itself is giving me the belief that, you know, I did do it, but this time there's no way and I'm going to continue on this journey.
Okay. And you're in the process. I don't know if you know much about fragmentation and integration. Have you ever heard of those words?
I've heard a little bit around it, but I've never looked into it. Yeah.
Wow. Well, offline, let's have a chat about that. Let's organize it. Because I'm getting really strong energy around telling you about that now. I've been on a journey of that myself just in the last 6 months through working through some of, you know, my pain and a lot of ancestral pain and things like that and damage that has been done to my astral body. The emotional body, and when there is trauma, you know, that occurs in that body, doesn't matter in which life, it fragments from the consciousness and from the physical body. And so there's a process called integration, where instead of having to go back into your past to heal it, you call that fragmented part of your soul into this present moment to experience it now in all of its totality. Wow. So that you can be whole. And that's a process I do with a lot of my coaching clients and stuff, that, you know, it's not like you don't have to fix it. It's not like, you know, I heal it or you heal it. Don't even get me started on that whole conversation. But anyway, once it's integrated, you become so much more whole. It's not that you healed, it's that you integrated. So there's this whole thing going on in the world of personal growth and spiritual development and all this kind of stuff at the moment around healing and healing and healing. And that also was my message 18 months ago, 12 months ago. But recently I understand, you know, it's not always about healing. That part of us isn't always so broken it needs to be healed. What it is it's fragmented. That piece of us is actually whole, doesn't need to be healed, but it needs to be integrated with the other energy bodies that we have and the physical body. So anyway, a whole nother conversation for us to have, but maybe that's why we've crossed paths and, you know, we're here chatting. So anyway, beautiful. For someone out there might have needed to hear that. So tell us now, I know we have to wrap this up inside the next couple of minutes, but tell us, you are living your life with passion and purpose and just so much definiteness. And, you know, I've been watching your journey and, you know, I just feel joy reading your posts and just seeing how free you are in being yourself. And I know at the moment, you know, you've even been approached to be an ambassador for men's, you know, men and men's spiritual journey and what it means to be a man and all those kind of things. So I don't know if there's a short version. Maybe we might have to do another interview sometime, because I think that's a topic we could talk about, you know, our purpose and passion for another 45 minutes. But maybe if you can just I just want to leave the audience with them seeing the other side of this journey, so that if there is someone out there now that's related to your pain, related to your processes that you've been through in those suicidal spaces, I also want them to get a glimpse of what it looks like on the other side. So as much as we don't have time for the detail, can you just share, where's life at? What are you doing? What are you being called to? How passionate are you? And you know, maybe share with the audience how they can connect with you if they feel the need to reach out.
Yeah. Thank you, Holly. Yeah, I think, well, I believe first of all that the key really here is to realize that we chose to come here to just enjoy and just to, and to share love with everybody. And that's been a massive shift for me, is, you know, I very much, not that there's anything wrong with my parents, the way I was brought up, but I'm certainly an environment where there was a lot of judgment, and awareness has been everything for me. Just being aware of how I am thinking about other people, how I'm communicating with other people, because that's a reflection of myself. But I know every morning that I wake up, I say thank you, you know, just for the fact that I've got the opportunity to actually get up and go out there and experience the day and share a message, whatever comes through me. Now, for somebody who's going through the pain, it's very hard to think that about even waking up the next day, because, you know, sometimes it's easier to think that you won't do, but everything is, as I mentioned earlier, you know, is everything that's happened for me, I've been able to look at it from the other side and go, well, what's the positive side of this? What's the solution around this? And, you know, I'm very blessed that I've had hundreds of people come up to me and thank me for what I've done and reaching out to me. And it's just, you know, I feel now that from that place of feeling and believing I was worthless to now being of value to others, but more importantly, to myself. And the way that I get that is clearly from a place of self-love, as well as, I mean, you said it so beautifully, I do it for the cause, not the applause. And that's something that's always stayed with me. And that's one of the massive drivers that really helps me keep going on a daily basis. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you for that. And what I love to do is, I mean, I mentioned earlier, I'm an open book and share everything. I use social media as a platform to help me get my messages out there, because I do believe that every time that I feel the need that I've got to send out a message, it is because somebody's reaching out asking for it. Yes. So anybody at any time can jump on and follow me on my Facebook, which is facebook.com/MartinInspiresBall. Okay. That's my personal one, and then I've got my other one, which I do a bit more around, which is just facebook.com/MartinPeterBall. I'll be doing some stuff soon. I've had quite a few requests in regards to running courses and people being able to get closer to me and interact with me more. So that's in the pipeline for I believe next month. We'll be starting doing that. So that'll all be advertised on my pages to help people just start moving forward.
Yeah. Fantastic. Wow. Well, you know, thank you. Like I said, I don't feel like we're finished. I don't feel like I'm even ready to stop this conversation, but there are rules and boundaries around how long we can let these shows go for. So for the sake of adhering to those processes, which, you know, normally I'm not really a rule keeper. I like to be a bit of a rule keeper, but this is one that I must respect. So listen, Martin, here's what I want to say to you, and I'm feeling this really heavy on my heart. I guess I say this from the space of oneness that exists between us, from the deepest place in my soul, you know, that I want to say thank you to you for having the courage to endure your journey. Because, you know, if it wasn't for you being able to travel this journey that you've been on, then we would not have you here right now being able to access the value from you that we can. And so thank you not only for what you provide now, but thank you for the journey that it has taken for you to be able to provide that. You know, success demands that we pay a price, and there is a price, and you have paid the full price for what you are now able to offer. So thank you for paying the price and for the courage that it took to to drop the knife and, you know, the courage it took to play the audio, the courage it took to reach out to someone, you know, start putting yourself in environments that you probably didn't feel like you belonged in, but you put yourself there anyway so that you could surround yourself with new thoughts and new belief systems that ultimately one by one built you to where you're at now. So I appreciate that. I definitely know that that wasn't an easy journey.
Thank you, Holly. I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Absolutely. And for those of you out there, you know, I always say this journey, this awakening journey, the consciousness journey, the greatest thing it takes is courage. You know, the courage to be able to see beyond pain, to be able to endure suffering, the courage to be able to believe that there is a reason or there is another way, even if we can't see it. The courage to have faith when we don't even know what, you know, what the point of it all is. So for those of you out there, please, don't leave here today the same person you were when you got here. I mean, allow yourself to have been opened enough by this message to be touched and to be challenged and ultimately to be changed. Please depart from here today with courage. The courage to believe in a better way. The courage to voice what you've got to say. The courage to thrive when times are tough. And above all else, the courage to know you are good enough. Thank you, everyone. Goodbye.
A New York City address is instantly recognizable and impressive to customers and clients. Starting at only a dollar a day, nycvirtualoffice.com provides mail forwarding options, including a walk-in location, and receives mail and packages to national and international customers with no setup fees and no contracts. With your Fifth Avenue address, you can incorporate your business, open bank accounts and lines of credit, and gain instant credibility. Call today, 212-726-1000. That's 212-726-1000 or online at nycvirtualoffice.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.